Janine Harris. Let's give her a hand as she comes and takes us around the Word.
Wow. Goodness me. I'm waiting for my tissue. You know, I've got my Word already, but I'm not sure to bring it. Just felt God saying something, and I want you to hear, church. Thank you. It's about healing, your physical healing this morning. Hands up if you can test your sickness or your ailment now. If you can test it. You can, Harry? Who else can do that? I just believe during worship there was a physical manifestation of healing here. I just know it. I know it. And Father said that he is so into healing. And what's healing for? It's for the testimony of others. When Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days and he stinketh, they say that. He said that. Well, that they say it. And there was a purpose why Jesus waited so long for Lazarus to be dead. And if you read your Word, he goes into the tomb and he says, Father, you've heard my prayer, but not for his sake, but for their sake. Who they were was the bystanders, the ones that didn't believe, the ones that wanted to come and just have a look to see whether or not he will raise from the dead. And Jesus said, it's not for his sake, but it's for their sake. And what we have inside of us, church, is our testimony. Because the testimony that goes into the world, no one can refute it because it's yours. Where is she? Beautiful, here. She is dangerous to the enemy, this girl, because it's her testimony. It's not for Tash to convince Janine. I'm a believer. It's for Tash to open her mouth and tell the bystanders of your world. It says in the Word to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. That is our commission. Your commission, Tash, is to go into all the world, get out of these four worlds, walls, and open your mouth, and it's the testimony. Brian should be dead. Brian was given 3 months to live. How long ago? January. When?
January.
January. What is this month? It's December. He should be dead. Chris Savolis was diagnosed with cancer. How many years ago, man?
5 years ago, I think.
And what did they diagnose?
Well, I had cancer. I had bowel cancer.
And what's happening now?
Well, it's all gone.
I don't know. It's all gone. It's all gone. And those are just some of them. You know what? When I was on my knees, when that you sang that song, man, you just killed me. But I just know, church, God wants us out of these wars. And I know we live out of the wars, but it's what you do out there. You know, God said, you know, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and I will accompany you. The derivative word there is go. If you go, he will accompany you. If you don't go, he will not accompany you with signs and wonders. You know what I mean, eh? And I just felt the Holy Ghost just talking to me this morning. And when he said, Just tell them to go and I'll accompany them. And when you go, to speak your testimony. Don't talk about events. Don't talk about programs. That can come later. And about the food care program. But talk about your Jesus. Talk about your Jesus. Amen? What's the time? Is it too early to go for a coffee? I could just go into worship. Grab your Bibles. I'll do it really fast. Grab your Bibles. Hey, let's give the Lord a hand. You may be seated. Whew, goodness me. I want to talk this morning about the church. And I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew 16, verse 13 to 18. Man alive, I've got the shakes. I've got my notes here. Dave, you might have to finish it. Okay. Jesus. Hallelujah. I've been sitting on this word for quite a while now, as for the timing to bring it. And what I want to focus on this morning is kingdom and the original assignment of the church. Is that all right? Let me just read. And it goes, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And so they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Listen to Jesus. Then he said, but who do you say? Who do you say I am? Then Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon, bar Jonah, bar is son of, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is where? In heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Amen? What a strong word that Jesus has brought right now. I'm just going to say a couple of statements, and I say this with caution. The church is a product of the fall. But before Adam fell, there was no need for church as we know it. There was church before the fall, but not as we know it. God created church when he created Adam. It's all right. I'll explain it. The word church, can I define that for you? Church is an English word translated from a Greek word, ecclesia, E-C-C-L-E-S-I-A, used by Jesus in Matthew 16, verse 18. Where I just read, where Jesus said, I will build my what? Church. My ecclesia. The word ecclesia has nothing to do with a building. It's nothing got to do with pews. It's got nothing to do with a band. It's got nothing to do with even worship. The word ecclesia was a common word that was used back in Jesus' day, even before Jesus, 2,000 years ago. It is a political word. It's a political word. The word church or ecclesia totally came from politics. You know, in universities today, you may have been required to study these Greek thinkers like Plato or Aristotle or Socrates, and they studied human behavior and human government, these Greeks did. Who's from Greek descendant here? One, two, three. Well, this is about your people. Who's the three? Chris. Ah, beautiful, beautiful. So you want to clap the loudest. Yeah. So the Greeks, clap. No, you don't know that. Right, right, right. So they were thinkers. And what they did, they used to study, especially them, government and human behaviour. And that's where democracy comes from, because Plato and also Socrates, they're the ones that actually brought that whole sense of democracy, because they were studying about mass control of people. And so that's where they come with democracy, and that's where we get it today. And so a lot of the things we do today are actually from the Greek. The Greek thinkers, great thinkers. Then when the Romans conquered the Greeks, the Romans preserved a lot of the Greek thought and they adopted a lot of the Greek philosophies. And that's why the Romans ruled the world effectively and very powerful. So the Romans were actually quite barbaric before they actually took over the Greeks. And when they merged them together, what happened is that Rome actually effectively and powerfully merged them, fused them together, and they were totally unreal. And one of the things that part of the Greek philosophy, the concept that they came up with, the Greeks came up, was called, and it was developed, and it was called the ecclesia. All right? Now, let me just explain what ecclesia really means. You guys still with me? Yeah? You guys with me? Don't go anywhere. Just stay with me present. Ecclesia means a selected and appointed group of people by the king or the emperor. And this group of people were responsible for executing the king's mind throughout the empire. That's what the ecclesia was for. Romans actually had church, the ecclesia. But their job, the ecclesia, translated to church, what their responsibility, they were appointed people, set apart. Can you see the comparison between the Roman government and kingdom government? Yeah? I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But ecclesia is a group of selected and appointed people to know the emperor's mind and to execute it in the land. That is what the true ecclesia is. When you get that perspective of what it really is, it changes the thought of what we do. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do this. But what I am saying is that your true identity is a cabinet member. They were cabinet members. The church, translated from ecclesia, it's a selected group of people, a cabinet that knew the emperor's mind and executed it to the community. Because they were in relationship with who? The emperor. They knew his thoughts. You know, I've been married to the same person for a long time. Can you hear that? It's like a... That was Jack. I've been married to Jack for a very long time. We met when we were only 14 years old. And he always thought he could hear me around the school before he saw me. Who else has that problem, husbands? Or is this me and Bubby? No. And then at 15, then we kind of got together. And then at 18, we got married. Thank goodness. And then, of course, a year later, we had Lou. That's right. And then Bub, and then years later, we had Jess. Don't worry about them. He's naughty. But during those first years, you know, it's a place of discovery when you're in a marriage. You know, I didn't know Jack loved so many scrambled eggs. In fact, he had scrambled eggs this morning. I didn't know that stuff about him. I didn't know, and it's a place of discovery. And I know Jack more than anyone on planet Earth, human, not God, more than anyone on planet Earth, and he knows me. You know, he knows my mind. He knows when I'm cranky, that look, and he knows when I'm delighted. And one thing that I just love, I love flowers. I love flowers. And every Saturday, he buys me white flowers. But watch out if he doesn't bring those flowers, yeah? So he knows me as delighted, but he knows me with, you know, because what I do, I actually look at Jack's hands first, right? Okay, so there's the, got it. There's the flowers. But I know Jack, and he knows me because we spend so much time together. The ecclesia was like that. The political cabinet ecclesia was like that. Amen? Amen. I want you guys to go back to your Bible and go to verse 15. Are we okay? Are we all right? We breathing? All right. Okay, as long as you're breathing. All right. And verse 15, and he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You know, Peter means Petros. It means little stone. A little stone or pebble. Petra means boulder or mountain. And Jesus is saying, you are a little pebble, but the boulder you spoke, I am going to build my church. See, the word my, so you can't read this constitution casually, the Bible. You can't read it casually because every word is loaded. Every word is loaded. And so when you look at the word my, so Jesus said, my church. So if I was to say, see this watch here? So this is my watch. So I'm suggesting to you that there are more watches in this building, yeah? Because I'm actually connecting it to me. And so when Jesus said, I will build, if Jesus said, I will build the church, we could assume there was more than one church. There was not more than one church. But because he said, I will build my church, that we assume that there's actually other ecclesias that are actually there. Go to Galatians, please. Galatians 4. I want to show you something. Let me read it. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. God waited for the right time to send Jesus, the fullness of time. I tell you, the fullness of time has nothing to do with the clock, and it's got nothing to do with hours. It simply means when everything is right. When everything is right. God didn't send Jesus in the Babylonian days or the Syrian days or the Egyptian days or even in the Greek days that when the Greeks were in power, but God waited until the Romans were in charge. Why did God wait 4,000 years? Why 4,000? Because it was in Genesis that the fall happened. Then what happened during the Bible? All the prophets came. The prophet said a promise is coming. He's, you know, in Isaiah and Daniel, they say this person's coming, this person's coming. And then in Matthew, 4,000 years later, we get Jesus. Why did God wait so long? He was waiting for the fullness of time. He was waiting till everything was right. You know, you may be thinking of, even with yourself, you know, there might be thinking, you know what, I might just change jobs. But, you know, God says, you know what, right now it's not the time because not everything is in play. You know, you may think to yourself, you know what, I might get married. We might marry. You know, we've been together for 18 years. Been together for 8 months. And God might just say, you know what, just wait. Not everything's right. You know, you may be thinking of dropping out of school, but God says, you know what, I need you in school. Why do I need you in school? Because I need you to change a generation. Everything's not ready. You know, everything's not ready. We need you there in school. We need you talking the right things. We need you talking to those people. You know what? Don't change your job, because you are my agent in that job. Right there. You know what? Don't get married right yet, because you know things need to be cleaned up before you go into marriage. It's when the fullness of time, it's nothing about timing and it's nothing about a clock. It's all about seasons, environments that God deals with. It's all about that. Why did God wait for 4,000 years? Because the Roman government and the kingdom government are very, very similar. Are very similar. And they've got similar concepts. The Romans had unified the known world. They had one philosophy. They had one religion. They had one language, which was Latin. They built roads between cities so everything was accessible. They were powerful, and they were a powerful and effective government in fullness of time. And God says, go now. Go now. You know, I was born a Maori. I'm not full Maori. I'm actually three-quarters Maori. Some people don't think I'm Maori at all. But I was actually born in Maori. I was born a Maori. And why I could have been born any other nationality. I could have been born Egyptian. Yeah. Or Greek. Or Australian. Or American. Yeah. I could have been born. But no, God made me a Maori. And when my parents connected that night to have me, because there's no one under the age of 18 sitting in this place, is there? No. Because, that's right, it doesn't matter because it's all scientific. I won the race. There was over 100 million sperms, and I won the race. Come on, church. You guys won the race too. What's the matter with you guys all going red? What's wrong with you? You guys are winners too. That's why you're sitting here. But I won the race. I said to Jack, how many was that? And he goes, look, I think there was over about 500 million. Is that right, Kim? Wasn't listening. Is that right, Hannah? There was over 500 million things. And I won it. There's a reason I'm here. And it was the fullness of time when God decided that I was going to come. And that I was born particularly a Maori. So that I could reach probably, maybe, my own people. There's a reason why you, Tash, you've got such a big mixture, haven't you? What are you? Filipino, Spanish, Australian, Malaysia. See, she's got all the worlds in her. But for a specific time, Tash is on earth. There's a specific time when Deb and Naboth are on earth. There's a specific time that Sam's on earth, that Hannah's on earth. That there's a specific time why you were put on earth, why Richard was put on earth, the Italian. There's a reason why you were actually put on earth for that specific time. And God has that specific time for you to be, and why he called it the fullness of time. So that you can affect your generation. Amen? So you could affect your generation. And it keeps going. Just go back to Matthew. Just go back to Matthew. It is good. And Jesus said, and the gates of hell, hear this church, will not stop what? His ecclesia. And Jesus goes, and I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not stop it. You know, Caesar had his ecclesia. Jesus had his ecclesia. Caesar had his cabinet. Jesus had his cabinet. But what Caesar didn't have, he didn't have the rock, because Jesus is the rock. And Jesus goes, and the gates of Hades will not stop the church. You know, one thing that we've got to be careful reading the word is that the word hell and the word, the meaning of it is actually quite unique. So there are actually three different types of hells. But depending on your version, some of them actually just say hell. So it doesn't make sense when God says, you know, I'm going to throw hell into hell. You know what I mean? When it's actually in the Bible. But when you say Hades, so for example, what Hades is, Hades is actually the grave. You know, when you get buried, you put a coffin in the grave, you know, the hole, that's Hades. And then there's another one, to stay with it, and it's called Gehenna. And Gehenna is the place where the lost go, where they die and they just wait on judgment. And then there's another place called Sheol, and that is the lake of eternal burning and ultimate damnation. And sometimes in the Bible, it kind of gets all kind of muddled up. And so with it, but I tell you, if you don't know Jesus, you are a candidate for Sheol. If you don't know Christ, if you don't know him, it's okay to go to Hades, because that's the hole where we all go, yeah? That's where we go. Because the grave cannot stop the church. Every time a person goes down as a Christian, guess what? Another one's born. I know my mother, born again, totally born again. She died 13 years ago. You know what? She couldn't stop the church. Yeah? Because God just brought another crew on. Another team on. You know, we love Jim Harper. You know, when we first met him, when the church started, beautiful. He's gone to be with his Jesus. He went through the grave. Guess what? Someone else came along. Church. And Jesus said, and the gates of Hades will not stop the ecclesia. Every time, see, Satan thought he actually could do it, but Jesus is saying, no, 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 no. Every time someone gets buried, I'm going to bring someone else on. Another generation's going to come. Another generation's going to come. I know when my mum passed away, my grandmother passed away, she was 94, a total believer. Total believer. My auntie passed away about 3 weeks ago, totally believer. Did the church stop? What? Come on, church. Did the church stop? No. What did the church do? It kept growing. And Jesus said, and the gates of Hades will not stop the church. Will not stop it. Amen? The gates of Hades will not stop the church. Man, if you do not know Jesus, you are a candidate for Sheol. And I don't mean to scare you, but it's best that it actually comes from the Constitution. In this word here, it says that. You know, on Friday night, Jack preached to the youth. And I tell you, people just gave their hearts to God. And everyone that gave their hearts to God are now not candidates for Sheol. If you don't know Christ, or if you know you are not living the life that God desires you to, get yourself right. Amen? Get yourself right. I'm going to try and finish this, but I need a volunteer. Come on, Dave. Oh, no, you're on keys too, aren't you? How can you do two things? I'll take Luke, because you need to go on keys. Yeah, come on, son. I'm going to jump around now. I'm just going to jump. Just come on stage. Okay. All right. So when God created Adam, say Luke represents Adam. When God created Adam, Adam had everybody in him because he was the first created. Yeah? He was the first created. He was the first man, and everybody is in Adam. And God said to Adam, have dominion. And he's saying to everyone that's coming out of Adam, which we are, have dominion. And what dominion means to govern, to rule, to control, to lead. And God is telling this to the whole group of the ecclesia. So this is before the fall. Put your head up, son. And so God is talking before the fall to all of us, to Adam, which represents all of us, yeah? Because he was the first created. And he says to that. And then what Adam did, Adam looked after the garden and he says, have dominion. And Adam was God's first cabinet, the first ecclesia. Yeah? He was his first ecclesia. And the church has two dispensations. You can start, Dave. Two dispensations, pre-fall church and post-fall church. Pre-fall, everybody was in complete relationship. Everyone was in fellowship with God. Everyone in the garden was present with God, and they were executing God's mind. This is before the fall. They were naming animals. They were cultivating the land. They were ordering earth and keeping it in God's control. That was the ecclesia before the fall. Amen? You guys understand that? I know you do. And he was the cabinet. But what happened was that Adam fell and he disobeyed the government. Because God said, what did God say? Do not eat of the tree. And now the cabinet has now gone against the king. And they have rebelled. And the only way you can know the heart of the king as a cabinet member is for them to know the king. That's the only how. So it's got nothing to do with what we see, but it's got everything to do with being intimate with Father. That is what makes a cabinet member. Man did not fall from heaven. He fell from his dominion. That is what he fell from. The fall of sin. You know, when I was young, I used to think that lying, stealing, backbiting, gossip, fornication, adultery, all that, I believe that was sin. So what I would do, I would spend all my life trying to not do those things. Come on, church. We would try not lying. We'll try not gossiping. We'll try not to fornicate. We'll try not to commit adultery. We'll try not to do that. But gee, it's so exhausting. It's so exhausting. And you know what? Life is tough when you think it's only about a behavior change, not a heart change. Amen? It's not about a behavior change. That will come when the cabinet comes back into relationship with the king. The word sin in its original form, original Hebrew form, is called rebellion. And you know, when a cabinet turns against its prime minister, and I think that happened not long ago, yeah? That's called the rebellion in the party. And Adam and Eve turned against and they violated their king and they ate of the tree. You know, church, ecclesia, don't waste your energy trying to stop sinning. It's too hard. Because Paul goes like this in Romans 7. Paul says, when I do good, I do evil. And when I do evil, I feel bad about it. So I do good and blah, 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 do. And then he goes, help deliver me from this body of death. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. It's not fighting about behavior. It's not fighting behavior. It's about coming back into relationship with King. Spending time with him. The ecclesia, the church, how do you know his mind? How do you know his thoughts? It's in here. And there may be some of you this morning that said, you know, I've been reading this for years and I still don't get it. And I get that. But I will promise you, I will help you get it. I will help you get it. Come and see me, or come see one of the cell leaders or one of the leaders, and we will help you get it, to understand the mind. And then Jesus goes, my ecclesia, my church, there's nothing about this. It's all about you knowing my heart and my mind. Amen. For all eyes closed.